This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm your host, Lisa Hale. It is the winter holiday season, and this edition features fun and facts about it. Yes, there's Christmas, but also at this time of year, you may be celebrating Yule or Kwanzaa or Hanukkah. So Terry Barr and I decided to delve into all of it for you for this week's cover story, and we can't wait to share with you what we've learned. Amanda Nimmer has some of the best advice we've ever heard on getting through the holidays with family members. This week we have stories on dealing with stress and grief during the holidays, a look back at the high school football season, and we'll look into the different types of snowflakes. Plus, an unexpected holiday classic cinema pick of the week from Pete Schwabba. Later, the music of the holidays. Or maybe should I say some brand new music for the holidays? Right now, let's open up this week's edition with my story about a Green Bay kid who has the gift to do great things. A 10-year-old boy interested in sports is fairly common. A 10-year-old boy with his own podcast interviewing the likes of Mark Murphy and A.J. Dillon, well, that's unusual, but it's not unheard of. Beckett Kay, we've withheld his full name for privacy purposes, or Bex, as he's also known, started his podcast as a school project.
We had to pick a learner leader in the community, so I decided to pick Jonathan Owens because a couple months back he went to the Boys and Girls Club and gave away turkeys for Thanksgiving. The goal was to pick someone like who does philanthropy in the community, so I picked him because, I mean, let's be real, giving turkeys away to people who need them is...
Now, with the help of the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Green Bay, Bex hosts Shorts on Sports, where he interviews local sports figures. He's also become a regular on Civic Media's Mino and the Mayor show to discuss sports and the Packers' performance. Bex has been going to the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Green Bay since 2020, that is, since he was 5 years old. There, he finds the encouragement to excel and to succeed.
Before my podcast, I always think, just take it like I'm just talking to, like, a friend. Because if you just think about, like, you're just having a conversation, it's way easier to concentrate and get your stuff done, get all your questions done, than thinking, oh my gosh, I'm interviewing this Packer player. Because everyone is just a person, no matter what they do, no matter who they are. They're all just a person.
Bex is leaning toward a future career in sports broadcasting. Just listen to him for a moment, and you can hear his passion and knowledge.
For close games like this, I think it's going to go down to who has the ball last before halftime, where they're playing, and then who's winning at halftime. Because I think if it's a close game like that, it's just going to go down to those simple things.
His love of sports is not the only thing that makes him special. Bex just recently turned 10 years old. Instead of asking for presents, he used the celebration to give back.
I took donations, like money donations or little like boxes of like full of like toothbrushes, toothpaste, all that good stuff, deodorant, toilet trams, anything that the homeless need, and I gave it to the homeless, but some people also brought presents, which is totally okay.
This holiday season, Bex is also collecting toys for Toys for Tots. You can find Bex's podcast, Shorts on Sports, on YouTube under the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Green Bay's account. And you can also hear him weekly on our civic media show, Mino and the Mayor, on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale. Conrad Krieger joins us now on New Wisco Weekend with the gift of a look back at this year's high school football season.
Christmas is right around the corner, and with that comes all the high school winter sports in northeastern Wisconsin. But before we move on, it's good to look back at the high school football season this year. I talk with one of the hosts of Mino and the Mayor and sports broadcast veteran, John Mino, and John gives a recap of what he saw this year in high school football.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've been doing it for a lot of years, over 24 years, I believe, and this was our best season. For one thing, weather-wise, it was really great that we didn't have one rainy night, and actually, the only really bad night of the season was in the state finals, and Wrightstown locally had to play in that sleet storm, and that was pretty bad, but otherwise, we had a beautiful, beautiful season of Friday nights, just some great football players. I'm telling you, these kids are just getting bigger and better, better facilities. I mean, these stadiums we go to are just mind-boggling. The money they're putting into them, like Nina, is just incredible now. I'll tell you what, Friday night football in Wisconsin, in northeast Wisconsin, that's an event. It's a very special event.
We talked before the start of the season, and you predicted that DePere would win the state championship. Did that happen?
No. They had an okay season. They lost a real heartbreaker to Bayport. And Bayport then went on to win the state championship. So it was a really good Bayport team. So that really showed some signs of life for DePere. The best quarterback I saw all season long was in West DePere. Patrick Grayson, his name is. And I think he ended up throwing 50 touchdown passes, maybe more. Just unbelievable. He's only a junior, 6'2", about 200 pounds, phenomenal arm. There are just some individual athletes right now around here that are just, they're worth the price of admission, as they say.
John, what was your favorite moment broadcasting in northeastern Wisconsin this year?
One of the pretty amazing things, we had a tremendous game, West DePere against Bayport. At Bayport, and it was one of those situations where the last team with the football was going to win this game, and Bayport scored, and I said to my partner, Ted Stefaniak, there's like a minute 30 left. I said, they might have left Patrick Grayson too much time, and he drove him down to the 32-yard line, and I thought, okay, and there's 5 seconds left, and it's like, okay, he can make it to the end zone for a Hail Mary pass. But instead, they brought in their kicker. And I'm thinking, this is almost a 50-yard field goal under pressure for a high school kid. He hit that thing like you can't believe. I mean, he split the uprights from nearly 50 yards to win that game. That is one I'll never forget.
John, why do you think northeastern Wisconsin high school football is one of the best in the state?
Well, you know, Notre Dame and Bayport both went down there against highly, highly ranked teams and walked off of the state championships. They've really seemed to have put a bigger emphasis on the support for high school football in this area. And that's what it really comes down to. These booster clubs now are huge, making sure the kids get whatever they need, making sure they have, you know, year-round training possibilities where if somebody wants to work out year-round, they can do it these days. It's been taken to a different level over the last 10 years. Huge change in the emphasis they've put on sports up here in Northeast Wisconsin.
That was John Mino from Mino and the Mayor, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
Here's Amanda Nimmer on how to get through the holidays with family.
The holidays are coming up and we all know what's about to happen. It's time to visit your family. And because no one in your house is sick and there's no immediate emergency or any type of excuse to get out of it, and you simply want to keep the peace between you and your significant other and just agree to go for their sake and their sake only, whether it be your immediate family or your in-laws, here are some quick tips on how to get through it. Step one, suck it up. It's not your partner's fault that they're related to these people. Yes, it may be their fault that you're getting dragged to it, but you know what? We gotta do what we gotta do to make the other person happy, especially if you really phoned it in this year on gifts and helping in general. So go into this with a mindset of you're doing this for them, get through it, get out. Which brings me to step two, create a plan with your significant other. Yes, they are aware you don't wanna be there, but maybe they do, or maybe they don't. Create a time frame, some kind of outline that you guys can be like, oh my God, look at the time. We gotta go. Lock eyes. Have silent communication throughout the day. And make sure you know what is off limits for conversation. Like for instance, maybe, and this is just a tip for everyone, don't talk about politics this year. Let's keep the politics to what the best side dishes are. Or whether or not Aunt May should have made those deviled eggs, because I don't know when she made them. They seem a little weird. Step three, learn how to dodge. Whether it be conflict, a situation, or a conversation you just don't want to be a part of, then I invite you to use my one tried and true method of getting out of these situations. And that is with one word and one word only. Meet. It's not insulting. It's almost engaging. But most people don't know what to say after it because you engaged and you ended in one word. And after you say neat, just walk away. Find another corner to hide in. Step four, create an out. Your time limit for dealing with this situation is up and you have locked eyes with your partner. It is time to go to the premeditated excuse of having to leave early. Whether it be you left the child with a sitter or maybe little Tommy needs a nap. I don't care that he's 14. He's tired. He's got to get in the car. We got to go. Or the dogs have to be left out at home. Whatever excuse, it's time to deploy now because we have to move on to step five, which is getting out of the Wisconsin goodbye. I'm not going to lie to you. This is the hardest part. The Wisconsin goodbye can go for another hour or two if you let it. Now, realistically, you could avoid it by doing an Irish goodbye, which is just leaving silently without anyone knowing. But they're family. You got to at least wave. Do not let them know you're leaving until a coat is already on. The kids better be shouting goodbye as they're exiting the door and getting into the car that is already turned on, warming up. And all you have to do from here is just repeat your excuse. I gotta let the dogs out. My dogs have allergies. I'm sorry, I have a UTI. I don't care what the excuse is. Just repeat it. Be like, I gotta go. Oh, the kids are in the car. Timmy, stop hitting your sister with a baseball bat. Where did that come from? Say whatever you gotta say as you're sidestepping to the left, out of the door, waving goodbye and wishing them all a very happy holiday, a happy new year, and then enjoying the silent ride home. Or if you wish to follow my method to an actual T, a gossip-filled, can you believe what this person just said, vent session for the remainder of your ride home. Listen, you showed up because you love them, or you were forced to love them. But that doesn't mean you have to fracture your sanity by enduring more time than you need with them. The holidays are for you too. They had their time slot. It's time to move on to the next. So send them a thank you message and enjoy the rest of your holiday in your style or preparing for the very next family gathering, which could be next week. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
Family and traditions, old and new. That's what makes up such a big part of our personal holiday memories and stories. Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, in about 10 minutes or so, we'll flip the page to our cover story, where we'll share how some of these holidays and traditions started and how they continue today. This is New Wisco Weekend on WGBW and WISS.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is New Wisco Weekend on your local Civic Media radio stations, WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, meteorologist Brittany Merlot looks at the different types of snowflakes, and Melissa Kay has a story on managing grief and stress during the holiday season. First, Pete Schwabe and his classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabe's Classic Movie Pick of the Week.
This week's classic is a Christmas film that people don't often think of right away when they think of a Christmas movie. Trading Places hit theaters in 1983 and performed well at the box office and with critics. The film stars Dan Aykroyd as Lewis Winthorpe III, a stuffy financier who works for Randolph and Mortimer Duke, played respectively by Ralph Bellamy and Don Ameche, a Wisconsin native son. Has there ever been a likable character in a film or a TV show named Mortimer? Yes, but the most recent is a cartoon called Rick and Morty, and they shortened it to Morty. The other big star in the film is Eddie Murphy, who plays Billy Ray Valentine, a street-smart hustler.
Who's that? Who's that? What you want?
Police. We've had some complaints about con men pretending to be blind and crippled.
Oh, I'd love to help you, man, but I ain't seen nothing since I stepped on that landmine in Viet Cong back in 72. It was rough, very painful.
You were in Nam? So were we. Where?
I was in Sang Bang, Dangan. I was all over that place, basically. A lot of places.
What unit were you in?
I was with the Green Beret, Special Unit Battalion's Commando Airborne Tactics, Specialist Tactics Unit Battalion. Yeah, it was real hush-hush. I was Agent Orange. That was my name, Agent Orange, Special Agent Orange. That was me.
The Duke brothers make a bet with each other that Billy Ray Valentine can do just as good of a job as Lewis Winthorpe when it comes to the stock market. Aykroyd's character loses everything, including his fiancée Ophelia, played by Jamie Lee Curtis. Billy Ray thrives in his new position, despite his lack of education. Eventually, Winthorpe and Valentine figure out the scam and team up, making a great comedy duo as they turn the tables on the greedy, pretentious Duke brothers. The film was directed by comedy rock star director John Landis, who had a string of hits including The Blues Brothers, Animal House, and Coming to America. His career was derailed for a while after a horrible accident on the set of The Twilight Zone took the life of actor Vic Morrow. But Landis came back with a flourish and still has projects in development today. Aykroyd was at the height of his popularity following a run on Saturday Night Live as one of the original Not Ready for Primetime players. Eddie Murphy, also an SNL alum, was just getting started with his highly successful film career. Cameo alert, if you look closely enough, you'll see the comedy team of Al Franken and Tom Davis playing baggage handlers. Rotten Tomato wasn't around in 1983, but the film gets an impressive 89% today and 85% from viewers. Even though it's a Christmas movie and heartwarming at times, it is rated R, but you will probably see worse things on broadcast TV these days. Trading Places is your classic movie pick of the week and should help put you in the Christmas spirit. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwab.
Snow,
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 snow.
It won't be long before we'll all be there with snow.
Snow, snow.
When it comes to winter weather, no two flakes are alike is entirely true. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains how many different types of snowflakes there really are.
There are 35 different types of snowflakes, which can be further divided into 121 subtypes. While snowflakes can look similar, certain snowflakes only occur under specific temperatures and humidities. Since we don't have time to get into all of them, they are broken down into four main types: plates, columns, needles, and dendrites. Here's how it works. When temperatures are in the upper 20s to low 30s, the snowflakes you're seeing are called thin plates, which look like they're cold. They're thin, plate-like crystals with six broad arms that form a star-like shape. Their faces are often decorated with amazingly elaborate and symmetrical markings. And if temperatures drop a bit cooler, let's say in the low to mid-20s and it's snowing, these crystals are called thin needles. Again, they look just like they're named, with long, slender crystals. And with these, it takes a little longer to pile up some significant accumulations. They're small and easy to miss, and they look like small bits of white hair on your sleeve. But when the temperatures get even colder, into the upper teens, hollow columns are spinning through the sky. It's that fluffy snow that's perfect for snow angels. And the flakes turn quite pretty when temperatures drop even further and hover in the low teens. These are called the stellar plates. They pile up quickly and they look more and more like the shape of a star. But the absolute sweet spot is when temperatures are in the single digits. The most detailed dendrites will dazzle you. And if you catch some of these on your hair or a dark coat, snap a picture, zoom in on that detail. You'll see a six-sided structure with elaborate and nearly symmetrical branches. So with all of these different types of snowflakes, forecasting accumulations in a specific storm, forecasters need to consider the snow ratio. For example, let's take 1 inch of water. Depending on the temperatures and the humidity, how much will that pile up to? Well, with the wet snow and the temperatures in the low 30s, you'll get only 5 inches. But if temperatures are in the teens, the fluffier, lighter type is falling, and these accumulations rise to nearly 20 inches. Remember, we just used 1 inch of water. And if it's windy, snowflakes can fracture, losing their lacy structure and leading to lower accumulations. So the deep cold, in general, promotes higher snow totals. And now you know it's true. No two snowflakes are alike. So stand out in life's weather, will ya? For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The holiday season can be a whirlwind of activity and emotions. Civic Media's Melissa Kay joins us with a look at how to mitigate stress and grief that can come with the holiday season.
The holiday season is portrayed as a time of joy and celebration, but holiday stress, anxiety, or grief can impact your mental health. One way to help meet the challenges this time of year is to focus on what you truly enjoy instead of trying to meet unrealistic expectations.
Only spend what you can afford. Make a budget. Plan ahead. Recognize that there are alternatives to spending.
Janet Wimmer is a clinical therapist with Aspirus Health. She said the picture-perfect holidays portrayed in advertisements and media can lead to frustration and increased stress when our expectations don't always align. She said it's important to plan ahead and set boundaries to maintain your mental well-being during the holidays.
Choose carefully. Don't be afraid to say no to invitations to party or bring something to eat or bake something or bring a gift.
Choosing those activities and traditions you truly enjoy will help protect your time and energy. It's also okay to say no to invitations or certain responsibilities. The festive occasions can be difficult, especially for those grieving the loss of a loved one. Wimmer says grief can feel heavy this time of year.
Grief is especially big around the holidays, especially if it's the first holiday after the loss of a loved one.
There are support groups and bereavement group options in the area, and there are a variety of hotlines that you can call to talk through your grief. Wimmer said it's also important to reach out to family and friends.
Don't be afraid to mention your lost loved one, to bring up their memories. Those are often well shared during the holidays.
This is also a good time of year to emphasize self-care.
For those who just find themselves really stressed, take a step back. Slow down all of the things that you're running at doing and take time to breathe deeply and take a few moments for yourself.
While the holidays can be stressful, adjusting your expectations, focusing on self-care, and reaching out to others can help you experience a more enjoyable and fulfilling holiday season. For New Wisco Weekends, I'm Melissa Kay.
Next on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story, the four primary winter holidays. We'll be right back with New Wisco Weekend.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This is New Wisco Weekend for WISS and WGBW. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. This week, we're doing something a little different. Terry Barr, our lead correspondent, and myself are going to split up our cover story. We're going to look at the four major holidays of the winter season. They are Yule, Christmas, Kwanzaa, and Hanukkah. Winter solstice is the first of them this year. It occurs at 3:20 a.m. on Saturday, December 21st. Yule, or winter solstice, marks the start of the new solar year. It also marks the longest night and the shortest day of the year.
We're part of a legacy that goes across time around the world. Humankind has been observing winter solstice for thousands of years. So to keep alive that tradition and to recognize we're part of that continuity of having happy holidays include good Yule and happy winter solstice.
That's Reverend Selena Fox. She's the senior minister of Circle Sanctuary Nature Spirituality Church near Barneveld, Wisconsin. Fox said Yule and the December solstice are celebrated by many cultural traditions and religions.
not only for people involved in nature religion, pagans, druids, Wiccans, panentheists, pantheists, my church is in the woods, is, and all of that, but for the larger community, because there are a lot of people very interested in solstice now.
What exactly is Yule? It's a celebration welcoming the light and the beginning of the solar year. Fox said the most recognizable of the Yuletide celebrations is the burning of the Yule log.
Some of the traditions that come to us from antiquity have to do with light and shadow. The kindling of fires, the kindling of lights, decorating one's home with lights. Something very ancient, representing the beginning of the solar year.
Gift giving is a part of solstice celebrations. Fox added that gathering with family and friends and feasting is another tradition, as is the decorating and hanging of evergreens.
Some of the traditions that are considered holidays traditions really have their roots back in different celebrations of the winter solstice. So we have evergreens, bringing evergreens into the home, decorating public spaces with evergreens, representing the continuity of life.
Praying for peace and sharing joy and exuberance are also traditions that are observed at Yuletide.
So some other ways that people celebrate winter solstice is bringing what I call the Yuletide joy, being happy with family and friends. And there's another winter solstice tradition that's very ancient, that of making peace and putting forth affirmations and prayers for peace.
Yule celebrations begin December 20th, but Fox says they continue through New Year's Day, bringing cheer, light, and joy of the solar new year into the calendar new year as well.
Lisa, many of these solstice celebrations you mentioned are now actually part of today's Christmas holiday as well. Pope Julius I, way back in the 4th century, chose December 25th as the official date to celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's now a time centered on family, peace, and nostalgia. I talked with Oshkosh Museum curator Emily Rock to learn how we got here.
How this region thinks of Christmas, I think in general, there's the religious aspects of Christmas and celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, but then the secular celebration of Christmas and like this midwinter holiday that has its roots in pagan Europe, you know, and these different traditions of Christmas trees and Santa Claus or St. Nicholas that have combined to have this beautiful end of the year celebration that really means so much to so many people and is so important to folks all over the world and, of course, here in Northeast Wisconsin.
Do we define Christmas as basically December 25th?
Not anymore.
Right.
I think it used to be more of a kind of a one-day holiday. That's when the church services were and that's when we would get together. But I think there's this whole Christmas season, you know, in the days especially leading up to Christmas, and then especially with the school calendar of, you know, winter break or Christmas break, there's extra time to spend as a family and do holiday related activities, you know, see light shows or go visit a special exhibit or different holiday traditions for families. So it is more than just one day.
What do you consider a traditional Christmas?
Today, a lot of people have a nostalgia for kind of that mid-century Christmas. The 1950s, 60s, the Coca-Cola Santa, you know, as kind of what Santa looks like. A lot of Christmas music written and become popularized in that period. That's sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from, or like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the stop motion ones. A lot of our current Christmas traditions were kind of galvanized in the mid 20th century. There's such a tradition in Oshkosh and Appleton, especially, of the Christmas parade.
What other things do you think are especially a cool tradition when you really hone in on Northeast Wisconsin?
The different light festivals with the Christmas lights. EAA does their Christmas in the Air in Oshkosh. In other places in the region, there's the Botanical Gardens in Green Bay, you know, has their lights. There's those types of kind of special festivals. Different organizations around the community try to make this time of year special.
Tradition can be old and part of your family. but then you can make new traditions too.
There's this evolution of traditions over time, or even like honestly driving around looking at Christmas lights, you know, like something that low budget, you know, feeling the specialness of the time of year.
Emily, let me be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
And same to you, Terry. Thank you.
Terry, our next winter holiday is the newest of the four holidays we're talking about today. It's Kwanzaa, an African-American and Pan-African celebration that starts on December 26th and lasts through January 1st. According to its founder, Dr. Milana Karanga, quote, Kwanzaa brings a cultural message which speaks to the best of what it means to be African and human in the fullest sense. Dr. Alfonso Simpson Jr. is the Director of African-American Studies and Associate Professor in the Department of Sociology at the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh. He explains the holiday is based on first fruit celebrations throughout Africa from ancient and modern times.
It's a celebration of family, a celebration of community and culture, and is rooted in raising up and bringing forth the ancient African model of cultivating, harvest, and sharing good in the world. It's really about sharing good in the world.
Karanga created Kwanzaa in 1966 as a seven-day cultural festival that celebrates seven principles. Simpson breaks down those seven principles and the 7 days of Kwanzaa for us.
And so those seven principles, they sit at the heart and the hub of the holiday. It's interesting how these principles all really tie in together. I mean, there's Umoja, which stands for unity. There's Kujichagulia, which stands for self-determination. There's Ujima, which stands for collective work and responsibility. Then there's Ujama, which stands for cooperative economics. There's Nia, which stands for purpose. There's Kuumba, which stands for creativity. And then lastly, there's Imani, that stands for faith. All of these, they go hand in hand. And as it is seven principles, there are 7 days from December the 26th through January 1st. And each day is celebrated following those principles.
Simpson said he could create an entire lecture series on Kwanzaa, why it's celebrated, and the meanings behind the symbolism and traditions.
There's so many factors that go into it, not just the principles, but there's also, you know, fruit that are used and different colors that have symbolic meaning and, you know, different pieces of the tradition of Kwanzaa, including the candles and when they're lit, just like the menorah. You know, we have candles that are lit, you know, there are three green ones, three red ones, and one black one that is in the middle. And those colors, you know, mean a lot. It's interesting when you consider it just all is very much symbolic of our ancestral roots.
Simpson said Kwanzaa is a way for all African Americans to connect to their heritage, their past, their present, and their futures.
Giving Americans of African descent something to hold on to, because what we have always been committed to is never leaving our cultural memory or our roots. When we were taken from the continent of Africa and brought here, we were stripped of everything except our cultural memory. That could not be taken away. And so we held on to those principles. And it's not just in Kwanzaa, but it even ties over into everything that we do and that we are today.
Terry, according to official KwanzaaWebsite.org, participants celebrate Kwanzaa with feasts, music, dance, poetry, and stories. The holiday is wrapped up with a day dedicated to reflection and recommitment to the seven principles.
Well, Lisa, 8 candles signify Hanukkah and the Festival of Lights. The Jewish holiday begins on the 25th of either November or December, depending on the Hebrew calendar. This year, Hanukkah starts at sundown, December 25th, and ends at sunset, January 2nd. The tradition goes back to 2nd century BC when Israel was occupied by the Syrian Greek army. It meant the Jewish people could not practice their religion. But they decided to fight back to save their traditions and religion. I talked with Marty Kerner. She's the author of The Jewish Mother to learn more about Hanukkah.
A group called the Maccabees, led by Judah Maccabee, decided to wage guerrilla warfare on the much larger, stronger Greek military, and they succeeded. in expelling the Greeks from Israel. But once they had done that, they needed to go back into our holy temple that stood in Jerusalem and rededicate it, make it holy again. So after cleaning it, it was time to relight the eternal flame. In those ancient days and in any synagogue today, you will find that there's an eternal flame, a light that is always burning to signify the fact that God is always with us. Back then it was with oil. It was going to take about 8 days to get new oil, and they realized that they only had enough oil for one night. So as our tradition tells us, once again, a miracle happened, and that one day of oil lasted all 8 nights until they could get more oil to the temple to relight.
So can you tell us about the significance of celebrating for 8 nights?
We celebrate for 8 nights, just like that miracle of oil, and we light candles. But we do say 2 blessings each night. The first night we say an extra one. The 2 blessings, the first one is thanking God for commanding us to light these candles. And the second one is thanking God for the miracles that happened in ancient times and the miracles that happen today.
And Marty, what about another old tradition?
We also lay dreidels, a four-sided top with different Hebrew letters on each side. And the history of the dreidel is that, of course, there were times when we were not allowed to practice Judaism. When people were being watched, it would just look like we were playing a game instead of truly remembering that a great miracle happened long ago.
So much of today's Hanukkah traditions are part of its history, including some of the foods fried in oil. But gifts and decorating are a newer part of the holiday, and it really makes Hanukkah very similar in so many ways to our other winter holidays.
Thanks, Terry. There are a few other winter holidays you might not be as familiar with, including the Mexican tradition Las Posadas, which honors the journey of Joseph and Mary. It lasts several days and ends December 24th when children lead the way to a celebration. Boxing Day is primarily a UK holiday on December 26th. It's an additional day off of work based around the custom of watching sports. And Omisoka, which is the Japanese New Year's Eve. It's considered a very important cultural way of bidding the old year goodbye. And like the Western version, it's celebrated December 31st. Coming up, music is often an important part of the holiday celebrations, but did you know there are close to 1 million Christmas songs? And according to those who research this type of thing, 60,000 artists are behind all of that music. But we may have one local artist to add to that list. Learn more when we come back. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. Holiday songs fill the air at this time of year. Between the traditional hymns and modern hits, it's a musical journey many of us enjoy. But we may have found an example of a local artist who should be part of the seasonal soundtrack. Our Terry Barr returns, and with a little help from Mino and the Mayor, here's the story and the music from one of Wisconsin's own, Tyler S.J.
He's not a stranger to the music scene, but Tyler S.J. is new to releasing his own original holiday music. Here's more about the Appleton area man when he recently joined Mino and the Mayor.
I've always kind of been interested in kind of contemporary Christmas music, and I've written songs kind of over the years. And then this year I was like, well, I'm going to put them all together and record them. I think 3 maybe were written this year. And then one's like 17 years old.
Oh, cool. You know, but it's your own?
It's my own stuff, man.
That's cool.
Okay, stop. In traditional Mino and the Mayor form, and is why we love them, of course, There's a disagreement?
For like a standard Christmas song, I would say Have a Merry Little Christmas.
Mine is City Sidewalks.
No, it's not City Sidewalks. It's Silver Bells.
Silver Bells.
You just know, whatever the first three words of the song is that's the title for John.
Because it reminds me when I was down in Green Bay when I was a little kid, and the streets were just, it was the prangies. It was just unbelievable. Oh, yeah. And to me, that reminds me of a city. Being in Green Bay reminds me of a city from back then.
City Sidewalks.
Yes.
City Sidewalks. It's Silver Bells. Silver Bells. But anyway.
Now, here's Tyler S.J. as he plays live in the studio during the Mino and the Mayor show.
Beneath a single roof, you hear everybody move. Four kids and some cousins too in a little northern town. A church on Christmas Eve, why we gotta be the last to leave. Quick, someone read the manger scene so can pass the gifts around. Scattered farther now, and isn't that the way? But I still miss you most on Christmas Day. When the kids pour down the stairs, it's when I hear you. And what I give for just one Christmas to be near you. Tell you all about the year, see you grinning ear to ear. Let you know just what it means, have you here. I never thought we'd ever find ourselves so far apart. A Merry Christmas. How's the weather where you are? How's the weather where you are? Must have been about 93. Snow must have been as tall as me. Four wide on the bumper beam, the Chevy tires churned. Town cop flipped the cherries on. Dad asked him what was wrong. He said, why don't I drive some so you can take a turn? I know those days are gone, and gone is where they'll stay. But I still miss my brothers most on Christmas Day. When the kids pour down the stairs, it's when I hear you. And what I give for just one Christmas to be near you. Tell you all about the year, see you grinning ear to ear. Let you know just what it means to have you here. I never thought we'd ever find ourselves so far apart. But Merry Christmas. How's the weather where you are? Hope the next year is your best. How's the weather? Put our bygones in the past. How's the weather?
Beautiful music, and it leads to conversation about Tyler's new album and another original song.
And now you've got an album, new album out, right?
Yeah.
Can talk about that?
It's called A Little Piece. It's 8 original Christmas songs and 1 cover, and recorded at Rock Garden in Appleton. Got Kurt Gunn, Brad Berdini, Michael Grabner, Amanda James, Rick Spatchel Armstrong, all these local music heroes of mine. Everybody kind of like filled in their parts on songs. So I've been in the Christmas spirit since like middle of September.
I used to love like the Lawrence Welk Christmas specials or Andy Williams. Or those are like such big events.
Yeah. Your 8 songs, is there one that's like catching fire? I mean, I'm serious when I say there hasn't been a really good
new
sing-along Christmas song in years.
Well, I think Chill in the Air, it's kind of like a more like throwback style, has saxophone and kind of all that
nice
fun stuff. That,
okay.
So this is like a consciously throwback song, where some of the others are a little bit more folky, but they've all done well. And the CD's been out for a little bit. Yeah, it's done really well, and like the response has been really great, and I'm just enjoying myself.
To the ceiling.
Come on, baby, see the snow on the ground. Dig out the decorations, spray them around. Slide on closer to me, all mark on the TV. What you feeling? I don't ever care, I got a whole month to spare. There's a chill in the air. I get some bored of wearing shorts all the time. Show me your soup recipes, I'll show you mine. Kettle steaming. Home is homier when candles are lit. So bring every Afghan we can hide under it. Gumdrop dreaming. Waited 11 months, got footage channels to wear. There's a chill in the air.
Chill in the air. Chill in the air. Chill in the air.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend. I hope you have the happiest of holidays. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. Lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features by Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, Melissa Kay, and Pete Schwaba. Our commentator is Amanda Nimmer. And this week we had special appearances by John Mino and Jim Schmidt. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email me anytime, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.